Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The gospel lesson for us today has two miracles. The first is Jesus healing a leper, and the second is his healing the servant of a Roman centurion. We will consider these accounts in the context of the authority of the Word of God, and especially the authority Christ has given his church to forgive sins and to retain them. Today's gospel features the authority of the Word of God. Jesus heals a leper by stretching out his hand, touching him, and saying, "Be clean." The man asks, and Jesus heals him with a word. But he does so by means of a ritual. The text says he stretches out his hand and touches him. Oftentimes, when Jesus heals, he uses his word in the context of a ritual or a ceremony. For instance, Jesus once spit in the dirt, making mud, and applied it to the eyes of the blind man. And the blind man gained his sight. This is a ritual in the sense that Jesus uses gestures and external objects and repetitive motions to apply benefits that are spiritual and the mechanics of which are unseen. Some say that baptism is just water and communion is just bread and wine, but were the mud cakes just spit and dirt? By no means. Not when Jesus, the incarnate Word, ordains them by his Word for his purposes. The Word, you see, is the source of all authority. And though spittle, dirt, water, bread, and wine have no power of their own, the Word can authorize such means to carry it out. The Word can use the physical touch of a leper to affect what is called the blessed exchange, Jesus applying his cleanness to the man while taking upon himself the man's sin. The Word has all authority, even to use touch in the transmission of a blessing, to use water for baptism, and to use bread and wine for the life-giving body and blood, without which you have no life, but through which eternal life is given you. The gospel gives account of these men who recognize the authority of the Word of God through prayer. Now, when God is not seen, we fold our hands to pray, close our eyes, make the sign of the cross, and call upon him. But as we touched on last week, when God is visibly in the room, you pray by going to him and asking him for help, just as you would anybody else. So both of these men go to Jesus in prayer, meaning they go to him and they ask him for what they need and trust that he has both the power and the desire to do it. Jesus shows his authority to heal the leper, and he shows it to him face to face. But the healing of the centurion's servant shows that Jesus can heal people who are not in front of him. When the centurion asks Jesus to heal his servant, Jesus says, I paraphrase, okay, I'll go to him. I'll go to him and I'll heal him. And the centurion responds with great faith. First, he's humble, recognizing that he and his house are not deserving of Jesus' presence. And second, he confesses the universal authority of God's word. The centurion says, I'm a man under authority, giving orders and they are obeyed. So it is for you, Jesus, over all creation. You don't need to be present with him. Just say it. Say the word, and creation will obey. Again and again, the authority of the Word of God is taught as the foundation of the gospel. No, God's word is not limited to physical touch or water or bread or wine, but it does have the power to authorize them for use. Likewise, the word is not limited by space or time, but transcends them. It is not bound, but it binds and it looses. Scripture says that God upholds the universe by the word of his power. The reason things fall to the earth is not because of gravity, but because God says the word. Every single time something falls, to have it fall with such mathematically precise regularity. Jesus, the word made flesh, is involved in everything. There are no laws of nature. There is only God's word and God's authority. And all powers in this world are subordinate to it or in operation under it. All things are under the authority of God's word. Elsewhere, when Jesus approaches a demon-possessed man, the demon has power over the man. But Jesus has authority. The demon knows it. Have you come to destroy us before the appointed time? Jesus says, be silent and come out of him. Later on, in a boat, Jesus is asleep while the disciples were fretting and wringing their hands over the wind and the waves. Do you not care? Again, rogue powers in creation are confronted by the word of the living God. Jesus rebukes the wind and the waves, saying, be still, and they cease. Actually, the Greek verb that the disciples use to describe what happens is that the wind and the waves, hupa akuo, they hear under him, much like Mary listening at Jesus' feet and getting the better portion, the wind and the waves hear Jesus. Most translations say the wind and the waves obey him. They display great power, but in the end, they are bound to the authority of God's word. So someone might say, if God's word has such authority, why is there so much disobedience in the world? It is true that Adam and Eve didn't obey the word of God, and that the world is under the power of the devil. And even we who are justified in Christ and sanctified by his Spirit daily sin much and need forgiveness. And so, to carry the disobedience of sin on his own shoulders, the Son of God comes to us in his humanity, in his humility, preaching that he must suffer at the hands of sinful men, die, and rise again. He never commands them to stop. He suffers silently. Yet he says to Pilate, you would have no authority had my Father not given it to you. We know that all things happen under the authority of God. And even in our sufferings, God's power is made perfect in our weakness. Not so that we will be defeated, but that we will participate in the glory of the only begotten Son of God. The glory of suffering at the hands of sinful men and for the sin of the world. God permits the rogue powers of creation, sin, death, the devil, the world, to defy his authority, but only for a time. This is the scandal of the Jews and the foolishness to the Gentiles that Paul describes, but it is the power of God and the wisdom of God. God allows his authority to be acknowledged, not by power, not by force, but by faith, so that it can be confessed, though unseen. When the scribes see Jesus forgive the sins of a paralytic man, they scoff, because only God can forgive sin. In other words, they don't believe the man was actually forgiven when Jesus said so. But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," he then said to the paralytic, "Rise, pick up your bed and go home." And he rose and he went home. When the crowd saw it, they were afraid, and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Which is more powerful? Which is the greater miracle? Which is a more costly, daunting, and supernatural act? To heal a paralytic or to forgive his sins? The former is a display of power before the eyes. The latter is a confession of power before faith. Which would impress you more? If I were to heal a paralytic in front of you here and now today, would you call your friends and relatives and boast in what you've seen? You might get out your smartphone and record the event. Get a lot of clicks. The world would see it and the world would be impressed. But understand this. Jesus says there's more cause to be impressed when God forgives a man's sins. The devil can do signs and wonders to deceive, even perhaps make a lame man walk, but only God can forgive sins. And that is more impressive than the authority to heal the flesh. And just as astounding, he has given that authority to men. Because Jesus Christ has died for the sin of the whole world, and in his flesh has reconciled you in his body of flesh by his death. He has reconciled all nations by the cross, killing the hostility. By this one man, he has given the authority to forgive sins to men, to his church, who has the keys to the kingdom, to bind and loose, forgive and retain sins on earth as it is in heaven. He conquered death, having risen with the keys to death and Hades in his hands. He breathed on his disciples and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain their sins, they are retained." And so today, as a called and ordained servant of the word, I have announced the grace of God unto you. I was called and ordained by the one holy Catholic and apostolic church, present and in effect through our assembling here in Lethbridge, Alberta, and given authority to forgive sins in the stead and by the command of Jesus Christ, and to retain them and bind the unrepentant to their sins. Bind them despite Christ's atoning work on the cross for them, so long as they do not repent, for they have denied the master who bought them, and their guilt remains. But for the faithful, those who believe, there is forgiveness on earth. So which is greater? For a church to heal paralytics and blind men, or to forgive their sins? We will not heal any paralytics, but we will forgive sins today. The world will not understand or believe the hype, so you can keep your camera phones away. But upon your confession this day, your sins have been forgiven. And that is greater. Your sins are a greater problem than your gout or your back pain or even your death. These are only the wages of sin, but the sin itself has been covered by the body and blood of Christ, which is miraculously distributed to you under bread and wine. You don't see its power, but you believe in the authority of the flesh of Christ to forgive sins. And the power of that authority will be seen, though is unseen now, will be seen in the day of his coming. When Christ comes again, his authority will be seen in full power. Every knee will bow, every tongue will confess, many reluctantly, that Christ is Lord. What we see now dimly, then we will see face to face. All will be revealed, and what was in the darkness will be plainly seen. And we will know our Lord, and we will have forgiveness seen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please rise. The peace of God, which passes our understanding, will keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.